Amen. Please be seated. It is good to see all of you here this day. And before we come to the Word of God for this day, let's once again pray and ask the Lord's blessings on our time. Let's pray together. Our great and glorious God, we are so thankful for the privilege to be in your house on your day. So grateful for the Lord's Day. Indeed, O God, this is the best day of the week. It's the week when your saints can gather and bless and praise your most holy name. And so we thank you, Lord, for the Christian Sabbath. We're thankful, O God, that we can say that it is a delight for us to be here on this day. And we ask, O God, that as we have gathered ourselves, that you indeed would gather with us, that you, O God, would dwell among us powerfully by the Holy Spirit sent down from above. O God, this is not a mere meeting of men and women, but this is men and women meeting with their God. And so come, we pray, and make your presence known in our midst. O God, draw near to us as we draw near to you. We pray and ask all of these things in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, as I am sure you all know, a very disheartening, negative sign of our times is the breakdown of the family unit, which includes the relationship between parents and children. Now, in our day, there are all kind of political and social movements which are waging a very strong warfare on the traditional family with their various godless ideas and philosophies. And no doubt much of this is satanic in nature. And so why do I say this? Well, I do so because Satan knows that at its core, the family is God's idea. Yes, dear ones here this morning, the fact is that the family is God's idea, and this is because the family was created and ordained by Him to be the primary social entity for all other social entities in the world. Thus, the great Reformed Puritan theologian John Owen was correct when he said, quote, "Look what the roots are in the family, and such will be the fruit in the church and in the state." Now, unfortunately, sadly, in many of these spheres, we are seeing bad fruit, to be sure. I mean, dear ones here this day, this is the case. And why? Well, it's because, again, families are suffering. It's because there are many powers at work which are seeking to weaken, undermine, and ultimately destroy the family as God defines it. Now, of course, it's nothing new that the devil himself is ultimately behind all of this. And this is because from the beginning he sought to bring division into the very first family that God himself created. Well, since that time, he has only continued to do this, and this is because he knows that if families are operating well, then they will produce well-adjusted citizens who will then flourish in any given area, and if they are saved, then they will give all the glory to God for this. Well, we come then for this morning to a passage which gives us one of God's primary strategies for preserving the family unit, and this especially in connection to parents and children. And this passage is found for today in Exodus chapter 20, and I ask you please to turn with me there in your Bibles. Exodus chapter 20, at verse 12, as we continue our series entitled The Ten Commandments and the Christian. Exodus 20, at verse 12, here God says to all of us in this fifth commandment, note the language there in your Bibles, Exodus 20, at verse 12, God says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, although this fifth commandment here is short, to be sure, brethren, it is packed nonetheless. In fact, as we will see today, this commandment is exceedingly broad. And this is because it touches on many areas of all of our lives. Thus, it's vitally important not only for the children in this place to understand, but also for us who are adults as well. And so, as we come then for this morning to consider our topic at hand concerning the fifth commandment, let's note together, firstly, its broad substance, its broad substance. Now, we begin here for today, historically speaking, and in doing this, I want to say something about the fifth commandment in this specific context. Now, typically, whenever the Ten Commandments are spoken of, they are divided into two parts, namely, the first table of the law, which covers the first four commandments, and then the second table of the law, which covers the last six. Now, in the first table of the law, generally speaking, we are given our duties toward God. And then in the second table of the law, with the last six commandments, we are given our duties, our responsibilities toward one another. Now, our lovely and living Lord Jesus Christ nicely summarized these two tables of the law when in answering the lawyer's question concerning which is the greatest commandment, Jesus said to him first in Matthew chapter 22 that you should love the Lord your God. How expansively? Well, Jesus says, with your heart and with your soul and with your mind, for this is the first great commandment. And then he said, the second is like it also. You shall love your neighbor, how? He says, as yourself. For on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so again, in general, this is a good way for you and I to understand the Ten Commandments with this twofold division concerning God and others. Now, of course, having said this, and listen carefully, this does not mean that there is not overlap between the two tables of the law, because there certainly is. In fact, dear ones, as we saw recently in our expositions of the fourth commandment concerning the Sabbath, this commandment instructs us to give our sons and daughters rest on the Sabbath. Thus, it includes both instructions with reference to God and to others. And then further in this regard, the sixth commandment that we shall consider in a few weeks, of thou shalt not murder. While this is speaking specifically about our duties towards others, it also includes our duty to God. And why? Well, answer is simple, and it's because it's God who gave us this commandment. This is the case, hence David's involvement in the murder of Uriah the Hittite. In this involvement that he played a part in this whole matter, he recognized in Psalm 51 that he had sinned against the Lord, saying there to God, against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. And so, long story short, dear brothers and sisters here this day, the point is, there is in the Ten Commandments, there is in these two tables of the law an interconnectedness. This is the case, and we must always keep this fact in mind. For if we separate our duties to God from our duties to others, then we will quickly find ourselves in the realm of mere humanistic ethics without any reference to God himself, and to do this would be bad indeed. Now, of course, and again, listen carefully, all of this interconnectedness between the two tables of the law makes complete sense, and this is because we cannot truly love one another unless we first love God, right? I mean, church, if we don't respect and honor God, then surely we will never respect and honor one another. Now, having said all of these things, as we look at the fifth commandment, specifically for today, which again starts the second table of the law concerning our duties towards others, it's striking to note that we are immediately in this fifth commandment directed to our duty toward our fathers and our mothers. It's striking that this is where it all begins. Now, why is this striking? Well, it's striking because this positioning here in the Ten Commandments shows us at once that according to God himself, our parents are to be very important in our lives. Get that down. It's striking. Why? Right in the beginning of the second table of the law, honor your parents, showing us that they are to be very important and significant in our lives. Oh, church, the point is the parental relationship is not something which is to be substandard in our lives as believers, no, but rather it's to be central. For surely as it is, it will positively affect all other relationships that we have with others. Well, having seen firstly then for this morning the broad substance of the fifth commandment, historically speaking, just speaking about the two tables of the law, come with me secondly now to note it exegetically. Now, as we begin here, you should note firstly that the Hebrew word for honor in our passage literally means to be weighty, to be weighty. And so you ask, Pastor Ventura, what's the point? Well, simply stated, the point is that to honor our parents, our moms and dads, means that we are to give great weight and value to their words and to the authority which they have over us. Oh, dear ones, simply stated, it means that we are to highly prize and treat with great significance both their persons and their perspectives in all things. Now, having said this, it's quite clear how it is that we would break this commandment. And how is it? Well, by treating our parents with disdain or disrespect, right? Well, dear ones, I say that it would be by us treating their persons and their perspectives not with weight, no, but rather as light, as inconsequential, being that which really does not have too much significance in our lives. Now, further in this regard, to honor our parents also means that we are to obey them, and this specifically when we live under their roof and have not yet started our own families. Thus, this is why, for example, the Apostle Paul commands children to do this in two very plain passages, namely Ephesians 6 and in Colossians chapter 3. Now, along with it being a great sin for us not to do this, you should note further that in Israel at this time, to not honor one's parents would also be treated as a capital offense. This is the case, hence this is why, for example, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 15 and 17, we're told there that he who strikes or he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And so you see, beloved friends, here this day, to not obey this fifth commandment with reference to our parents is a very serious matter. It's extremely serious in God's eyes. Thus, this is why, no doubt, the words of our passage in the original language come to us not as a mere suggestion, no, but rather as an intensive command, saying to us quite literally that we must utterly honor our mothers and our fathers. Well, secondly then, exegetically speaking, you should note that the term father in our verse, while referring specifically to one's own natural father, also carries a very broad application which refers to all legitimate authority over us. Oh, dear one, simply stated, to the Hebrew mind, and that's the crucial point, to the Hebrew mind, the term father referred to anyone who was due respect and honor as being in a place of influence or leadership over us. And I'll speak about this some more in a little bit. Now, that our passage here also mentions, look at the language, that we are to honor our mothers is quite significant. And this is because, while of course our fathers have a unique responsibility for spiritual leadership in the home, this does not mean that our mothers deserve less honor. No, for indeed, the Word of God, the Bible itself, extols mothers in this regard, saying, for example, in Proverbs 6 and verse 20, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother." And then again, if you're taking notes, in Leviticus 19 and verse 3, the order of the language here is actually reversed, so that the passage actually mentions mothers first, saying that everyone shall, quote, revere his mother and his father. And so you see, dear children, in this place, this day, according to the Bible, you are to honor both of your parents. According to Holy Scripture, you are to prize your parents, respect your parents, listen to your parents, obey your parents, both mom and dad, giving them equally the respect they deserve. Well, perhaps then, having just heard that, dear children here this day, you say, how are we to do this? Well, I'm glad you asked. And so let me give you 10 ways briefly. And the first is, again, you honor your father and mother by your external actions in your obedience to them. That's where we begin for today. Again, I hope many of you are taking notes, especially you children. How do we do this? Number one, by obeying them. Remember again, Paul commands this very thing of you. Second, you do this by your internal attitudes toward your parents, making sure that you are not harboring ill feelings about them. Third, again, if you're taking notes, you do this by how you speak to them privately, children. How you speak to your parents, it's a very important way to honor them. Using honorable speech such as, yes, mom, and yes, dad, and thank you, mom, and thank you, dad. Fourth, you do this by how you speak about them to others publicly. So not just privately, but now publicly. Never speaking negatively about your parents, no, but rather only positively. And if you have nothing positive to say, then say nothing at all. Fifth, how do you honor them? By loving them. By loving them. Sixth, by praying for them. Praying for them. Seventh, you honor them by not holding grudges against them. Eighth, you do this by keeping in touch with them. even when you're out of the home, whether by calls or visits or text, etc. Ninth, dear children here this day, you honor your parents by listening carefully to them. Right? God's given you one mouth and two ears. The point is, listen more than you speak by listening to them. And this especially when it comes to making major decisions in life, such as who you will marry. Big purchases you will make. What career you will seek. And of course, you are to honor your parents in listening to them with reference to spiritual matters, if in fact they are true believers. And then tenth, dear children here this day, you honor your parents by taking care of them. By taking care of them. Now, wait a minute. Now you say, I thought your parents were supposed to take care of you. Well, that's true. They are to take care of you. But by me mentioning you taking care of them, here, I'm thinking specifically about taking care of them in their old age, if need be so. Now, this is crucial. This is vital for all of us to get, especially us here this day who are adults. And I say this because we must understand, brethren, that the fifth commandment has no age limit placed on it for us. You see, church, to honor our parents applies to us both in our childhood and in our adulthood. Consequently, this is why, for example, if our parents get sick when they are older, our first thought should not be to send them off somewhere and have someone else take care of them instead of us. No, but rather you and I should first seek to take care of them ourselves as we are able to do this. Now, of course, here's the qualifying remark. Of course, sometimes we won't be able to do this because their situations might be so dire. Therefore, other arrangements will have to be made. Yes, it's true. Ah, but brethren, again, especially for us who are adults, we honor our parents by taking care of them when they cannot take care of themselves, kindly paying them back for all that they've done for us, for all the years that they've given on our behalf, kindly paying them back, to use Paul's language in 1 Timothy chapter 5. For in doing this, we'll be like Joseph, of whom we're told in Genesis 47 and verse 12, that in his time of need, he, quote, provided for his father. And then, of course, in this, we will also obey our Lord Jesus Christ. For he made it clear in Matthew chapter 15 that unlike the hypocritical Pharisees who neglected the fifth commandment through their traditions, making the commandment of no effect, Jesus said we are to uphold the fifth commandment. He said we are to keep it with reference to our parents. Now, having said all of these things, what is the great motive, exegetically speaking, for us to do all this? Well, God gives us the answer to this question, secondly, in the verse, when he says, firstly, to the Israelites, that they were to honor father and mother. Look at it with me there in your Bibles. The Lord says that, or better translated, so that, or in order that, their days may be long on the land which the Lord, that is Jehovah, your God, quite literally your Elohim, is giving you. Now, of course, these words here were not meant to be an ironclad promise saying that every single Israelite who honored their parents would in fact have long life. No, but rather, these words here were put forth as a general principle. Again, firstly, to the Israelites in this context, especially as they had just left Egypt and were heading toward the promised land of Canaan. Ah, but dear ones, having said this, this language here is also a general promise of biblical law for all people. which shows us that obedience to God very often brings the blessings of long life and prosperity in the land, just as God himself speaks of in many places in the Old Testament, such as in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1, and in Proverbs 31 and verse 2, and in Proverbs 4, verse 10, etc. Now, having said this, it's also interesting to note that one of the reasons why the nation of Israel was taken into Babylonian captivity was due in part to a failure to honor their parents. This is the case. Part of the reason why they were exiled was because they fell short right in this very area. For as we're told in Ezekiel 22 and verse 7, a major sin of Jerusalem at this time was that they, quote, made light of father and mother. You see, the very opposite thing concerning them. Honor them. No, they made light of them. Honor them. Consider their persons and their perspectives as weighty. No, they made as light who they were and the things that they said, etc. Now, as most of you here in this place, being the good Bible students that you are, you will know, I'm sure, that in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul himself quotes our passage here in Exodus chapter 20. And there Paul applies it quite broadly in Ephesians chapter 6, calling the fifth commandment what? Well, he calls it the first commandment with promise, which indeed it is, again, the promise being, you shall live long and dwell in the land. Well, in summary then, with reference to the second half of this passage, I believe that Dr. Joel Beakey and Paul Smalley get it right when they say in their helpful systematic theology that, quote, honoring one's parents is an aspect of the wisdom that tends toward a longer and happier life. The authors say that in ancient Israel, a person who persistently dishonored his parents could be put to death by the civil authorities. And any person who commits the sin will die under God's curse. Conversely, they say, the person who honors, gives weight and respect to mom and dad, forms habits of gratitude and submission to authority, and this fosters other virtues and protects against life-ruining vices. Now, again, for you who know your Bibles well, then you will know that life-ruining vices characterize some children in the Bible, and indeed it costs them much. For all we would have to do is just look at the example of Absalom, who was a terrible, disobedient son to King David. Consequently, he did not live out half his days on the earth. And the same was also true for the disobedient sons of Eli, named Hophni and Phinehas, whom the Bible calls corrupt, perverted individuals who did not know the Lord. Well, having seen them, the broad substance of the fifth commandment, historically and exegetically speaking, what can I say about it now, thirdly, foundationally? Well, foundationally, I can say that honoring our fathers and mothers means that we attach great worth to them. That foundationally is a correct statement. It means that we properly respect, listen to, and reverence them with great seriousness. And why is this the case? Why should we do this? Well, the answer is threefold. Number one, because God commands it of us. Why do we do it? Tell me why, Pastor. Number one, God commands it of us. Second, it's because in His sovereign providence, He has placed our parents over us. And then thirdly, simply stated, we do this because they're our parents. Because they are our parents. Now, having said this, perhaps someone here this day says, "Oh, but Pastor, you do not know my parents. You do not know my mom and dad. They are horrible. They are ungodly, and they have greatly mistreated me." Well, if this is the case, first I say I'm sorry to hear it. And if this is the case, then clearly you are not to honor your parents because of their evil persons, no. But rather, you are to do this because of their specific positions. You see, friends, our passage for today doesn't say, look at it, honor your father and mother who just happen to be the best Christians who have ever lived on the face of the planet. No. But rather, it simply says, honor your father and your mother with no exceptions, regardless of their moral characters. For our passage has no exceptions to it in this regard. Now, surely, this is not always going to be easy to do for those individuals who have or had had very bad parents. And in some cases, it might in fact mean honoring the dishonorable. Yes. Oh, but church, I say that as we seek to do this, to honor them with God's help by the power of the Holy Spirit, the best that we can, we will be obeying Him. And we also will be a good witness to those who are in the world. And hopefully even a good witness to those unconverted, horrible parents, if we happen to have them. And so, having seen so far for today the broad substance of the fifth commandment, how did we look at it? Historically, two tables of the law. Exegetically, each word opened up for you, I trust. And then foundationally, or we could say summarily speaking, let's note secondly now and more briefly the detailed focus of our commandment in view. Now, here once again, all I want to do is to read to you some portions out of the larger catechism with reference to the fifth commandment, as I've done in days gone by with reference to the other commandments. Now, before I do this, just to give you some clarification and context, you should note that the writers of the larger catechism, in speaking about the fifth commandment, saw this specific commandment, saw in it the basic and broad teaching of respect for all authority, just as I mentioned earlier. So get that point down. The Puritans, as they looked at this fifth commandment, they saw in it the basic and broad teaching of respect for all authority. Simply stated, dear ones, they saw the fifth commandment to be a paradigm for all other major relational entities in the world. Thus, along with understanding the term father in our passage, to be speaking about domestic fathers in the home, they also understood it broadly to be speaking of honoring spiritual fathers in the church, like pastors, and also political fathers, like elected officials in state. Now, in doing this, as I said a moment ago, I think the Puritans were right. Because as I mentioned earlier, this fifth commandment in connection to our relationship to our parents really is foundational for all other spheres, relationally speaking, in life. Oh, brothers and sisters here this day, this is the case. And this is because our relationship to our parents actually prepares us for much in life, including the key, central, core issue of humble submission to various other authorities which the Lord Himself has placed over us, which if we don't get right in the home, I must say, things will not go well for us in other places. If we don't learn to submit to mom and dad in the home, to honor them as God calls us to do, then we won't learn this in other spheres of life, and we will run into great trouble. Well, here then, with this main idea in view, is why the Puritan writers of the Catechism say, positively speaking, in question 124, note it there in your bulletins, that, quote, by father and mother in the fifth commandment are meant not only natural parents, but all superiors in age and gift, and especially such as by God's ordinance are over us in place of authority, whether in family, church, or commonwealth, which is to say, the state. And then negatively speaking, they say that the sins of inferiors, which in Puritan language means those who are under authority, they say that the sins of inferiors against superiors, or those over us in authority, are all neglect of the duties required towards them, envying at, contempt of, and rebellion against their persons and places in their lawful counsels, commands and corrections, cursings, mockings, and all such refractory and scandalous carriage or management of ourselves, as proves a shame and dishonor to them and their government. Well, after saying all these things, the writers of the Catechism go on to speak about more matters pertaining to this fifth commandment. And when you have time, I would encourage you to review all that they say, for indeed it is quite instructive and really quite helpful. But for now, as I begin to wind down the message, let me do so by making some applications to all of us here this day. Having considered the fifth commandment from the Ten Commandments, what can we take for ourselves from it? Well, let me speak firstly to those of you here this day who are not true Christians, to you who are not really saved, to you who have not been converted by the grace of God. What does this fifth commandment say and show you? Well, plainly it says and shows you that you desperately need to be saved by Jesus Christ the Lord, right? Oh, friend, I say that it shows you that you, in fact, are guilty before God. For you have not kept this fifth commandment flawlessly, as God requires this of you. And since there is an eternal penalty connected to breaking this commandment, as with all the other commandments, I say, dear friends, that you must, underscore it, you must go to Christ by faith, asking Him for salvation and the forgiveness of your sins. So what child here this day does not need to be saved? All of you children need to be saved, because there's not a one of you here who has kept the fifth commandment flawlessly in thought and in word and in deed. And because connected to this fifth commandment is an eternal penalty of hell forevermore, for breaking it, you must fly to Christ by faith, saying, "Oh Lord, forgive me of all of my sins, wash me, for I have not honored my parents perfectly as you require me to do." And so you see, my dear children here this day, my unsaved friends, in this sense, Paul's words in Galatians 3 and verse 24, make complete sense. For there he says that the law of God was our tutor to bring us to Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith. The law of God becomes the schoolmaster that shows us if this is the standard which God requires of us in order to enter into heaven, then there's no way we're getting into heaven by ourselves. No. We have broken all the commandments of God. And again, my unsaved children here this day, you're guilty before God. And this fifth commandment shows you how much you need to repent of your sins and beg God for mercy through Jesus Christ the Lord. The law of God requires perfect obedience at every single point in our lives, in thought, word, and deed. It requires perpetual obedience at every point in our lives, in thought, word, and deed. And it requires personal obedience at every point in our lives, in thought, word, and in deed. And so, are you going to be here this day and claim that you're innocent, that you're not guilty before God Almighty? Oh, my dear young friends here this day, might the law of God be used by God to bring you to Christ so that you cry out to him, "Oh Lord, I have broken the fifth commandment," which means I've broken all the commandments. For James says, "Whosoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at one point is guilty of them all." Oh, may God use his law to drive you to his Son, that you might go to him as a rebel sinner, as a violator of the fifth commandment, saying, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me for all my rebellion against my parents. I am Absalom. I am Hophni and Phinehas. Oh God, forgive me. Cleanse me based upon what Jesus Christ did on the cross in the place of guilty sinners like me. Oh God, wash me and cleanse me. For there is a substitute whom you sent into the world to die for sinners like me. Oh Lord, I turn from my sins and I put all my trust in him who gave his life as the just one for the unjust ones that he might bring us to God." My dear non-Christian friends here this day, especially you dear children, might you be found going to Jesus today for salvation. Might the fifth commandment be used of God to show you yourself in truth. You are not good. You're guilty. You're a lawbreaker. You're a rebel before God. And God must punish you because of this. That is true. And yet this God who must punish you for your sins is the God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Might you be found this day believing in him, which is to say, trusting in him alone as your only ground of acceptance before God. Oh, children, might it be so for you. But secondly, then, what about for us here in this place who are true Christians? What applications can you and I, brethren, take for ourselves? Well, there are at least three things I want to say, and the first goes to now Christian children in this place. Christian children. And the application for you, believing children, is to continue with God's help to keep the fifth commandment. Right? It's for you to continue to give special heed to your father and your mother, knowing what? That God commands us of you. That God has placed them over you. Now, what if you just happen to find yourself struggling in this regard? What can you do? It's a good question. Well, along with seeking the Lord and prayer, etc., you also are to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. and seek to follow him by the power of the Holy Spirit. And why do I say that? Well, I do because we're told concerning him in Luke chapter 2, amazingly so, that although he was God, he was nonetheless born to earthly parents, and he willingly honored and obeyed them. Thus we're told in, again, Luke 2, that Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was what? Well, the passage says that he was, quote, submissive to them. He honored them. What a glorious example this is of honor, right? Of obedience, right? I mean, children, this is amazing. For again, this is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. In fact, this is the one who actually made his own parents. And yet he was willing to be subject to a Joseph and Mary, a mere village carpenter and his wife. Oh, I say, dear young Christian believer here this day, if you happen to struggle because of remaining sin within your own heart with reference to honoring your parents, obeying them and respecting them and all the rest, pray to God, read the Word of God, but then look to Christ, the living God. And remember that he who upholds all things by the power of his word, he through whom all things were created, this one came into this world and he willingly subjected himself to his parents. He joyfully placed himself under their rightful authority. It is amazing. It's glorious. But to be sure, my dear Christian children here this day, it is true. Well, may the example of Christ be a help to you. Well, the second application then goes to us here this day who are Christian parents in this place. Christian parents. And it is, beloved brethren, listen, since in fact our children are to honor us in the ways I've expounded, I believe that we in fact are to be, listen, honorable. They are to honor us. Therefore, we are to be honorable, so that the keeping of this commandment will be that which they do out of delight, out of that which will be easy for them to carry out. And so, beloved Christian parents in this place, and I'm looking at many of you here this day, what's the application? Be honorable Christian parents. That's the application. Be exemplary Christian parents before your children with the help and the grace of God. Ah, but you ask how, Pastor Ventura? I always like to make it very practical. Here's how. Number one, by how you live uprightly and in truth before your children. How can we be honorable parents? By how you live uprightly and in truth before your children. By how you speak, Christian parents. By how you act in various situations. By how hard you work to provide for them, your children. Feeding them and clothing them and cooking for them. Educating them, as many of us do in the home, etc. How do we do it, Pastor V? Well, you do it by keeping your word to them, by keeping your promises to them. How do you make yourself honorable to your children? Wives, by obeying God when he says in his word, to respect your husbands. Husbands, you do it before your children by loving your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So Christian parents, let's be honorable before our children. And when we fall short before them, what do? Well, we don't stiffen our necks and walk away. No, we ask our children for forgiveness. Please forgive me, for I have sinned against you all in my bad example, in my bad temper. in how I acted toward your father and how I acted toward your mother. That was wrong. Please forgive me. Now that is honorable. That is commendable in the sight of God. Well, thirdly and finally then, by way of application for us who are believers in this place, having spoken much already with reference to duties pertaining to our natural family, I think it's good that I end on a note concerning our spiritual family in the church. And say, dear ones, let's be sure that we are all honoring one another in this place, right? Now again, as the Puritans stress, this is certainly to be true with reference to the pastors, spiritual fathers in this place, and I'll add the deacons as well as leaders. But I'm also convinced, beloved brethren here this day, that this is to be done toward each member, one to the other. For according to Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, we are to what? Honor all men, he says. So it's got to include our brethren. And so how do we honor one another in this place? Well, let me give you some answers. We do it by loving one another. That's how you honor your brethren. You do it by praying for your brethren, by supporting your brethren, by interacting with your brethren in this place. That's how you honor them. By really caring for them. That's how you honor one another in this place. How could you be honoring them when you don't care for them, pray for them, love them? How could you do that? You're not honoring them, you're dishonoring them. Brethren, we honor one another in this place by being involved with one another's lives. For according to the word of God, this is what true Christians do, who are part of the family of God. And so, may God himself help all of us in this regard. Right? Yes, may he give all of us the grace and the ability that we need in order to do all that he's called us to do from his most holy and blessed word. Let's pray together. Our great and glorious God, we thank you that your word is so helpful. And that indeed the commandments are exceedingly broad. For who would have possibly thought that they touch on so many areas of our lives? So we thank you, Lord, for your truth. And we pray now that you would take what we've considered, work it into our lives. I think especially of the children in this place, still in the homes of mom and dad, under their rule and authority. Oh God, give them special grace to honor their parents. And Lord, for us who are older and out of the home and have established our own homes, thus not under our parents' rule in that regard, help us, Lord, to be honorable parents, commendable Christians. And help us, Lord, also to honor our parents as they get older, that we would seek to do them as much good as we possibly can. Oh, great God, help us as a church in this regard. Forgive us for where we have fallen short. We ask and we pray all of these things in that wonderful and glorious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.